Yeah. Cross up ready on the building. Got me Pudge in the house.
Steph Swig in the building.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know. We got our own station now. Talking about the way the world is.
It's called Talk with this radio. Conversations about the high low. It's Big Pudge and Steph Swig. Two bold brothers kicking down your door. Engaging listeners on topic. Discussions to bring questions. We got real issues that need solutions. We got so many people that need deliverance. From ISO to the church doors. Ain't no more keeping our eyes closed. All these elephants in the room. It's time to take time out with the broom. Instead of sweeping all these issues up under the rug, it's time we unify and penetrate what God's love. From spiritual to political, from astrology to science, from theologian to the Vatican, let's believe in things is happening. This ain't your average ordinary radio show, worldwide, blessed by the God who make the sun glow.
A show that promises to engage listeners in objective conversations and share scriptural truths that transcends one's emotions, personal opinions and preferences as a means to provide practical solutions and answers to real issues that affect real people by discussing a variety of diverse topics and provide thought-provoking answers to questions that we thought we knew the answers to. I just want to talk about stuff people don't want to talk about nowadays. I want to address the elephants in the room. I want to be thought-provoking, open-minded.
We on the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
Got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now. On the air like here we go.
Here we go.
It ain't the same no more. People changing up their game. Oh Lord, we on the air to let them know.
Let them know.
We got our own station now, talking about the way the world is now.
Welcome back to Crosstalk. I'm your man Steph Swig.
I'm your boy Big Pudge.
Glad to be here once again. We got another great topic for you guys. Like we always bring them to you. We got one. We're going to talk about abortion today.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to go into the whole thing, whether abortion's right or wrong, or should it be legal or not. We're going to just talk about abortion. Abortion, let's talk about it. You know, I'll go in while Pudge is pulling up some information. It's
okay.
Like, I've been hearing about abortion. People talk about it a lot. And I want to dive into different areas of it, whether, you know, talk about the forgiveness side of it, talk about the implications of it, talk about, you know, just everything. Talk to people who has done it and people who are contemplating doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And just talk about it from every kind of angle we can bring up on this podcast today, because it's a topic that's worthy to be talked about, because people are having abortions. You know, people have, I know people personally who've had abortions, and it's, and I want to bring all the information I have to the forefront. We bring information forward on this show, so it's a lot of information out there. I want to talk about, you know, what it takes to do an abortion, and, you know, the psychological effects, all kinds of stuff, because I really want people to go into this. If you're considering an abortion, I want you to go into it with an informed mind. Not just off a whim of some kind of minor inconvenience. And there's a lot of implications, spiritual, non-spiritual, we can talk about with it. So we got a whole bunch of information about it, and I don't know, man. It's just so much ways I want to start this thing, man.
It's a lot of information. So just give you some knowledge. So for people who didn't know, abortion was legalized in 1973, and approximately 1,500,000 babies have been aborted each year. That's pretty much saying one out of six women in this country have had abortions. Many times, a lot of the women were not told about the procedure or the risk involved. They were most likely not informed about the development of the unborn baby inside them. And it says, this specific article says, abortion is called a choice. If this is true, women should know what they are choosing.
Amen.
So, and I fully agree with that. To each his own when it comes to, you know, who you choose to go where, stuff like that. But if you're going somewhere and nobody's giving you an in-depth analysis of what's going to happen to your body after that, or what potentially could happen to your body after that, then, you should definitely seek more, more than one opinion
if you are going, if you're even considering stuff like this, you know, that's going on. So, step one of y'all to know, like, how abortion is done. And I never really thought about, you know, that at all, as far as, like, abortion itself and how it's actually done. Honestly, man, it's just pretty gross when you read exactly everything that they're actually doing to get rid of a fetus. And depending on, you know, I know in the state of Georgia, you can get an abortion all the way up to 7 months. And by the fifth month, the child is fully developed. It's no longer a fetus. It's officially...
You said 7 months?
7 months, man.
Wow, I didn't know that.
And I know from experience, I know someone personally who got an abortion at 7 months.
Wow.
You know, by 5 months, which is why when you go get an ultrasound at 5 months, you can tell, you know, the organ of the sex of the child, because mm-hmm. the fetus is no longer a fetus. It has hands, feet, you know, heart, eyes, mouth. The baby is fully developed at that point. So if you didn't know, people, by the time you hit 5 months and you're considering getting an abortion, they're no longer sucking just the fetus out of you. They're literally giving you're giving birth to a natural child, and they're killing it the minute you bring it out. So that may sound real cold and harsh to a lot of people.
But
those are the facts. Like, yeah. There's no way you can get around, like, you know what I'm saying? You're asking for them to abort your child, which means you're asking them to kill your child. It's pretty much, there's no abort your child and then we're going to take care of it.
Or Planned Parenthood and stuff like that.
Yeah, there's no Planned Parenthood. It's none of that. So, did you want me to...
Yeah, I want you to describe the procedure. Then we just go into all the reasons people talk about it, and we'll just dive deeper into that, too. But,
okay.
Yeah, describe the full procedure, because that's interesting to me.
All right, the following is a description of the various types of abortions that are performed in this country. RU-486. RU-486 is a drug that produces an abortion. It is taken after the mother misses her period. It can be used up to the second month of pregnancy. It works by blocking progesterone and crucial hormone during pregnancy. Without progesterone, the uterine lining does not provide food, fluid, and oxygen to the tiny developing baby. That just sounds so cruel. The baby cannot survive. A second drug is then given that stimulates the uterus to contract, and the baby is expelled. Women who abort with the drug RU-486 experiences nausea, severe cramping, vomiting, and bleeding. But the resulting emotional distress may have even more of an impact, rather than being over with in a few minutes, as in a surgical abortion. Pretty much, that's what the doctor will tell you. It's going to be over within a minute, not telling you all these symptoms are going to come behind after that.
Wow.
So it says this abortion could last for over a week.
Jesus. Wow. I didn't know that.
The drug. I never even heard of this drug before at all. I didn't even know you could take a drug that will actually abort the child for you.
Wow.
They say it could take over a week. Then, when the woman finally does abort, she will expel a tiny dead human being, her baby.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess whoever wrote that really wanted you to feel you know what I'm saying, the aspects of what you're doing. The other one is called suction aspiration. In this method, the cervical muscle ring must be paralyzed and stretched open. The abortionist then inserts a hollow plastic tube with a knife-like edge into the uterus. The suctions tear the baby's body into pieces. The placenta is cut from the uterine wall, and everything is sucked into a bottle. I did not know
that,
man.
Wow, that sounds barbaric, though, to me.
Yeah, it sounds
barbaric, invasive.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Now, how many methods are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. There's 4 more methods.
Wow.
Right. Dilation and curettage. It's called DNC.
Mm-hmm.
This is similar to a suction procedure, except a loop-shaped steel knife is inserted into the uterus. The baby and the placenta are cut into pieces and scraped out into a basin Bleeding is usually very heavy with this method. Dilation and evacuation. This is called DNE. This type of abortion is done after the third month of pregnancy. The cervix must be dilated before the abortion. Usually, laminaria sticks are inserted into the cervix. These are made of sterilized seaweed that is compressed into thin sticks. When inserted, they absorb moisture and expand, thus enlarging the cervix. A pliers-like instrument is inserted through the cervix into the uterus. The abortionist then seizes a leg, arm, or other part of the baby and with a twisting motion tears it from the body. This continues until only the head remains. Finally, the skull is crushed and pulled out. The nurse must then reassemble the body parts to be sure that all of them were removed. How in the world can you be a nurse that even, that's your job, to see an unborn baby come out dead and you have to put the body parts back together to make sure an arm or a finger isn't left inside of the woman?
And I'm trying not to judge folks listening to that, but man, it's like, you hear it, and I'm like, what kind of person can do that? Like, I'm not saying what kind of person can get an abortion, I'm thinking to actually perform it. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
that's what I'm doing.
You would have to isolate yourself emotionally from that situation.
Yeah,
I couldn't do it.
I couldn't either. I mean, this is all brand new to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I never knew. I'm really glad you asked about it too, because yeah. I never knew. Like, this when I say step, this gives me a whole new outlook on, you know, abortion. I mean, yeah. Everybody has their own opinions, yeah. And I know people get to the point where they just like, you know, I got to do what I got to do. I'm still a child myself. I got college and all this other stuff. But I think if people actually read what is going to happen, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It might be something different. So there's two more.
I don't know if I can handle two more.
Look. Prostaglandin abortion. Prostaglandin, and I hope I'm saying that right, is a hormone that includes labor, that induces labor. The baby usually dies from the trauma of the delivery. However, if the baby is old enough, it will be born alive. This is called a complication. To prevent this, some abortionists use ultrasound to guide them as they inject a feticide. Feticide is a drug that kills the fetus into the unborn baby's heart. Then they administer prostaglandin and a dead baby is delivered. This type of abortion is used in mid and late term pregnancies. So pretty much this will be the 5 months on up. So this will be the procedure that they use when it's not a fetus anymore. It's a full-blown child. It's a baby. So the last one is dilation and extraction. They call it DNX. This abortion is also used on mid and late term babies. Okay, this one is too. From 4 to 9 months gestation. Ultrasound is used to identify how the unborn baby is facing in the womb. The abortionist inserts forceps through the cervical canal into the uterus and grasps one of the baby's legs, positioning the baby's feet face down, breech position. The child's body is then pulled out of the birth canal, except for the head, which is too large to pass through the cervix. The baby is alive and probably kicking and flailing his legs and arms. The abortionist hooks his fingers over the baby's shoulders, holding the woman's cervix away from the baby's neck. He then jams blunt tipped surgical scissors into the base of the skull and spreads the tips apart to enlarge the womb. A suction catheter is inserted into the baby's skull and the brain is sucked out. The skull collapses and the baby's head passes easily through the cervix.
Man, I'm kind of glad I asked you to read that. I'm kind of like, dang, that actually does affect my views on this, man.
It really,
like, yeah. I've been pro-life prior to this information, but when you hear about that, it's like, I have to be real, man. It's like, how can you value life and know this is going to happen? So I don't think people, I couldn't see how someone would go through with this.
After knowing all
that. Yeah.
And I think, and honestly, now I understand whoever the author of this article is. I understand the beginning on how why they said what they said, as far as like doctors never the people the women never really knowing what the procedure is.
Yeah.
Because my thing is, what human being that has a heart, that has conscious feelings,
I'm saying,
will go through that when a doctor is legitimately explaining to you what they about to do to the child inside you? I think it would. Now, number one, doctors are about money. All of them aren't, but I don't see how you're about caring for anything when you work in an abortion clinic. Your job every day is to kill babies.
You know, I have to admit, man, I've seen people marching outside of abortion clinics before, and as a kid, it's kind of weird to me why they were so upset about it. I didn't understand. Back then, I didn't even know what abortion was. When I found out what it was, I still like, well, dang, that's. Mm-hmm. I understand being against it, but like, why? But now hearing what happens,
mm-hmm.
I understand. I really do. And I don't know, man. It's just really crazy when you hear that's what takes place.
Yeah, this is and just to let people know, this is copywritten this year, 2017. abortionfacts.com, if you guys want to go and read this yourself. So just so you know, it's abortionfacts.com. It was actually published this year, and everything that's labeled on here is backed by doctors. You know, I understand why, you know, the author said abortion means the choice and the choice to kill.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, I can't judge anyone because I've never had an abortion, but I've been a part of helping, you know, someone get an abortion. So there's no judgment here. Now, what I do know for a fact is this woman had no idea that these were the procedures that was going on, and of course I didn't know, you know. And the sad part is it's kind of self-explanatory why doctors would not tell the patient. Number one, they would be broke.
Yeah.
I think a lot of abortions would not happen. I honestly think there will be some women who would go through the whole 9 months and rather give their child up for an adoption versus have these procedures happen.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the you know, world, you have to understand that if something like that is happening to you, then you have to know that there is some form of risk, you know, after all that is done. And you can't just get up from the table and, mm-hmm. you know, they does say, you know, a lot of clotting and bleeding happens shortly, you know, after that. But there's a lot of risk that happens after that. One is pelvic infection, incomplete abortion, blood clots in the uterus, heavy bleeding, cut of a torn cervix, perforation of the uterus wall, anesthesia related complications, future childbearing. You know,
yeah, that's the one that I know people personally deal with. That one, the future childbearing.
The future
I know
childbearing
people
one.
Who had multiple abortions, and because of that, they probably won't ever be able to have kids because of that. So that's something. If you're talking about Planned Parenthood, if you don't ever plan on being a parent, then maybe abortion, I can see that. Now, I'm not justifying, I'm just saying, but if you plan on having, based on what I'm saying is, if you're having an abortion because you don't want a kid right now,
mm-hmm.
you might want to consider the fact if you have an abortion, it might kill your chance of having a kid, period.
Wow.
Because if you're talking about, you know, killing your chance of having a childbirth, or bearing a child, that's killing it.
And honestly, if you think about some of the procedures that they do to get rid of the child, like, you know, doctors are human beings like we are.
Yeah.
Who's to say they ain't clean that huge knife utensil that they sliding up in you? I mean, honestly, you know, you may have just had abortion an hour ago, and you sterilized it, but not 100%. So now you have bacteria and germs coming from one patient to another one. And look, okay, so pelvic infection. It says bacteria, parentheses, germs, from the vagina or cervix may enter the uterus and cause an infection. Antibiotics may clear up such an infection. In rare cases, a repeat suction, hospitalization, or surgery may be needed. Infection rates are less 1% for suction, curettage, 1.5% for D&E, and 5% for labor and induction. So this stuff is telling you, like, the percentage of you catching an infection depending on which procedure you choose.
Yeah.
The sad part is they all have percentages of infections that you may receive. Like, that's none amazing. Of them is 0% infection that you'll go through.
Every one of those procedures sounds barbaric, man. I mean, I knew, I didn't know anything about the procedure. I just knew what abortion meant, killing babies before they're born.
Right.
You know, but I didn't know it was all that. Mm-hmm. And I guess I've been against abortion since day one. However, if I wasn't,
right,
I would definitely be against it now. I couldn't stomach that, man. All right, we got to move on, man. That's depressing. Let's talk about something different.
We can't talk about nothing different. It's the show, man.
Since we've already gave
show people how an abortion is done. Let me go ahead and give y'all some of the definitions on some of these kickbacks. That's what I'm calling them, kickbacks from doing that. Incomplete abortion. Fetal parts or other parts of pregnancy may not be completed. And I would assume it would be what the one, I don't know which one it is, where the nurse has to make sure all the body parts are out. So this is the repercussions if a body part remains.
Yeah.
You know, they call it an incomplete abortion.
That's disgusting.
Fetal parts or other products of pregnancy may not be completely emptied from the uterus, requiring further medical procedures. Incomplete abortion may result in infection and bleeding. The reported rate of such complications is a good thing. It's less than 1% after a D&E, whereas following a labor induction procedure, the rate may be as high as 36%.
Wow. That's high.
That's very high. I was happy to hear the 1%.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the whatever delivery and whatever that D&E is. But 36% is stupid high.
That's almost half.
That is. Compared to what you're talking about. So for it to be 36%, that's saying that a lot of people have still been left with their baby parts in their body.
Yeah.
And my question is, are the doctors being honest with these women when they realizing that, you know, saying they're coming in there still bleeding? Are they telling them, yeah, you still got a finger and a toe still in you from your abortion?
I wonder.
You know what I'm saying?
That's an awful conversation to have.
It is. And then, or do they use the huge medical terms to where you know you don't understand nothing they're saying?
Yeah, they might do that. Or basically what we were saying, we got to go back in.
Right. We got to go back in and remove some stuff that should have came out that didn't come out.
Some residual debris or something.
Right, exactly. Man, this is blood clots in the uterus. Blood clots that cause severe cramping occurring in about 1% of all abortions. The clots usually are removed by a repeat suction curettage, which means you have to do that procedure over again to get that suction out because you were clotting too much. Heavy bleeding. Some amount of bleeding is common following an abortion. Heavy bleeding, in parentheses, hemorrhaging, is not common and may be treated by repeat suction, medication, or rarely surgery. Ask the doctor to explain heavy bleeding and what to do if it occurs. Cut of a torn cervix. The opening of the uterus may be torn while it is being stretched open to allow medical instruments to pass through and into the uterus. This happens in less than 1% of the first trimester abortions. Now, I want you to understand, some people don't get excited about the 1%. It said first trimester. That means the first 3 months.
Yes, sir.
When you hit that fourth month, you are no longer excluded in that 1% of this right here. Now, mind you, we just read how the procedures are done. And again, I'm so happy that Step asked that because I was not thinking about that. But it so coincides to hear how it was done and then to read the repercussions, or the backlash that can come from it, because we read on at least two of them, large instruments that they put inside you to crush your baby or cut your baby all up, and because of that, whatever they use to expand your cervix, it could have potentially torn your cervix. So, you know what I'm saying? So if you decide to go that route and you're past the 3 months, just know, well, you know, there's a strong possibility that, you know, so your cervix can be torn if they plan on using those large instruments to pull the child out. Perforation of the uterus wall. A medical instrument may go through the wall of the uterus The reported rate is 1 out of every 500 abortions, depending on the severity. Preparation can lead into infection, heavy bleeding, or both. Surgery may be required to repair the uterine tissue, and in the most severe case, hysterectomy may be required. Wow.
Wow.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, hysterectomy, that means you can't have a child.
That means they take everything out. Your reproductive organs, the ovaries, that's what they taking that out too. I mean, there's partial hysterectomies too, but they're taking the fallopian tubes, all that stuff. Your whole reproductive system, what a complete hysterectomy is, that's when they take all that stuff out so you don't get anything. No menstrual cycle, no babies, no nothing.
Jeez.
And with that being said, there's a lot of hormonal changes women go through when they have hysterectomies as well.
Okay.
You know, so it throws everything off. Everything you read here, though, it's not natural. You know, that's not, you know, and we live in a world where people get so politically correct that they miss the whole essence of life in itself. And I think we get so-called being politically correct, we can't speak our minds no more. So I'm going to speak my mind on this. So I'm throwing everything. I can't be politically correct on this one. You know, and I'm not. I got squashed. When people talk about judging, sometimes if you say something that somebody's doing is wrong, that's judging. That's not judging. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you the truth. It's wrong is wrong. Some things aren't a gray area.
Yeah.
You know, and I got to speak with passion and conviction with this one because it's just, that hits home, especially loving life and kids so much and then seeing that's what they go through if you get an abortion. It's like, you can't tell me that abortion is right. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. You can't tell me it's right. Abortion is wrong. You can't tell me that's God's original plan for anybody on this planet. You can't tell me that's God's plan at all. The fact that we having conversations now, should it be illegal, should it be illegal, upsets me now more. It just upsets me more so before.
Right.
It's more of an opinion thing. Now it's like, what the hell are we talking about? Why are we talking about, this is the life we're talking about. We march and they got these freaking fines for endangered species and mistreatment of animals. People go to jail for mistreating animals and dogs and stuff like that.
But
the way they kill a child, though, I mean, kill a child is wrong, period, but you can kill a child that would pick it apart inside a uterus. You telling me that's a worthy conversation? There's no conversation here.
There is no conversation there.
You cannot tell me that God is pleased with that. And yeah, I'm saying God. When people say God, people think about religion. I'm not talking about religion. I'm just talking about God in general. Spiritual. My relationship with God is a spiritual thing, not a religion thing. So if God says something, just even with natural life, period, if you're just a naturalist person, you cannot tell me that's what Mother Nature intended, is for you to pick a baby apart.
Right.
Now, there's all kinds of arguments on the table. What this happened, what that happened, what if I'm not ready, all this stuff. And I get that mindset. But I can't go in here. I don't see how you can go in there knowing this situation. Now, keep in mind, I'm passionate about this. I have friends that I know who personally got abortions. I don't judge them. I don't look down on them. But the fact is, it's still wrong.
Yeah.
You know, wrong is wrong despite who you are, whatever.
Right.
It's wrong.
Right.
2 + 2 don't equal 3. So no matter how I want it to fit, it don't equal 3. So if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But this situation here, there's no way abortion is right or something that should be entertained.
Right.
You know, and it's like, I'm just upset with that whole, I had an information, inflamed with passion over it. But at the same time, it's like, you got to be real, man. You got people talking about women are fighting for the rights of their body. You know, it's my body, so I can't be told to do with that. I get that argument. You should not be told to do with your body.
Right.
However, it is not your body we're talking about. They're talking about going inside your body, removing the body of another human being. That's different.
That is attached to you.
Yeah, that's different.
Right, and I'm about to say, you know, for those women, because every woman don't understand how the woman body works, know that everything that you eat, there is a tube that goes from you to your child's belly. Like, so when they go inside, they are ripping that child from you. That child is literally, like, physically attached to your body.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like they're removing a wart or a cyst or something like that. That's how people act like. It's like, oh, well, it's my body. I can do whatever I want. But at the same time, I'm going to have to say this because it takes two to have a kid.
It does.
It takes two. And I feel with this whole conversation, and it's not even about abortion being legal or illegal, but it's kind of tied into the whole thing, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it's like, when you do that, it's like, where does the man come in?
Right.
You know, where does the man come in? It's his child, too.
Right.
You did not make that child by yourself.
Right.
So you have to think about that, too. It's not the woman's body. Yeah, it is affected by that. It's like with any surgery, however, but we're not talking about her body. And I said this earlier off the air. It's like, it's funny how people who are living want to have a choice about abortion.
Right.
Like, if you would have got aborted,
you wouldn't have a choice. You wouldn't have a choice. Right, right.
But life, you know, people say God is life. The Bible says God is life. I believe that. When you kill a child, you killing a purpose.
Right.
You could have been killing a child that had a specific purpose to benefit me. Avenues I can go with that. But I just want to read some stats off real quick, because I want y'all to understand how precious life is and how strategic God is when it comes to life.
Right.
Like, because we're always talking about, I'm going to get to that in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we talk about, well, I'm not ready, or I'm a be a bad mother and all this other stuff, or mm-hmm. I'm too young. I got college plans. What about the plans of the baby? What about plans of the dreams that they might have
right. That's
been birthed in them to have? What about, you know, people talking about, well, if a person got raped, then they should be able to get an abortion. And I used to be the one that kind of felt that way, too. But it's like, at the end of the day, God has a plan. Despite the circumstances, it's still a purpose for that life to be here, because life don't have to be created. You can have sex, ejaculating a woman, she not get pregnant. So if it happens, a specific time a woman has to be in order for her to even get pregnant from ejaculation inside of her.
Right.
But even with that being said, if you were raped and you have a pregnancy, if my wife was raped, if she was raped, God forbid it ever happened, and she got pregnant, I wouldn't get an abortion. Mm-hmm. And that's just understanding who God is and understanding that He has purpose for all lives.
And that's big of you to say that, because before you get into that, like that's a hard pill to swallow.
It is
for a lot of, I would say, men and women, because you know, you have men that have cheated on their wives and they got a child from mm-hmm. another person.
True.
You know what I'm saying?
True.
And it's a hard pill to swallow. Now I do think the pill is a lot harder to swallow if you and your wife have no issues. Lord forbid something happens and she gets raped and gets pregnant. I believe that pill is like 50 times harder to swallow, because again, the child has nothing to do with what happened. It's not that child's fault. Now, here's what I will say, and it's just from being in a home raised with foster kids where we never know their biological parents. And this don't have nothing to do with you being saved, unsaved. It's just a mental state. When you have that child and you realize that child is nothing like your other children, nothing like you, and only have symptoms of the mother. And as the child gets older, you have to be so... Now, this is where I feel like you have to be so focused on God's love mm-hmm. that no matter what this child does, how it acts out and does things, you don't look at that child any differently from the rest of your children. Because that is a very hard task, because when a child becomes a teenager and becomes disobedient, they get to smelling themselves and stuff like that, then naturally parents is like, boy, don't you know that, you know what I'm saying, I done this for you, done that for you, and I could have had you aborted.
Yeah.
You know, I could have talked her into doing this or doing that, or I could have treated you differently the whole time. You know, so it's one of those things where, you know, that's a real tough pill to swallow. At the end of the day, there's a lot of men who just would not be able to handle that. They would walk away from the whole, and the sad part is y'all had no issues.
Wow.
So initially the man is going to hang in as long as he can, but you just have some men that are not built strong enough to when the child gets here. And and y'all might have already said, we don't want no more kids.
Mm-hmm.
It could be where y'all kids is already growing and out the house, and now this man, y'all have to deal with another child, but more so the man, at some point in time, the man is like, I know you didn't ask for this, I know you was violated, but I can't deal with this.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And that's just really, 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 really tough, man. And I'm sure there is somebody with a situation out there that's like that. It's to me, it's hard all around. Because, number one, I couldn't even... All I could do is imagine how a woman would feel to not only be violated, but on top of that, impregnated by someone who violated her.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Then how does that woman feel while the child is in her? Are you resenting the baby while it's in you?
Yes.
Because, you know, the child feels everything that the mother feels and goes through. So that's, whew.
Yeah, it'll be a tough pill to swallow, man, hands down. I mean, it wouldn't be easy, but I still wouldn't get an abortion.
Yeah, now I wouldn't, and I said all of that because I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
So I was literally looking at it from me and your standpoint to the child is here.
Yeah.
And now we're dealing with the normal issues of a child when they get here.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how I looked at it, like, you know, just to let, like that's tough. I mean, it shows how much of godly men or how much the agape love that we have in us.
Yeah.
You know, however, that's still a we still
do. Yeah, it is true. Because before I would say that, I didn't think that way. You know, me and Keisha had an argument about that before. It never happened. Like, she never got raped or nothing like that, but it was like... Right. We didn't even have kids when we had that conversation. How you feel about abortion? I'm against it. Well, if you get raped, I'm still keeping it. And I was like, how is that fair to me? Like, I just have to, like...
You were right into your issues.
And now I got to raise somebody else's kid. Now, you know what I'm saying? That's how I felt about it. But it's like, you know, as you get saved and as you grow, you become selfless, but you understand a little bit more, a lot more, how important life is and how precise God is when he puts people together.
Yeah, absolutely right.
And what I'm getting at is like... And I learned this recently, but... If you are living, you are here on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
If you are here breathing, you can hear this podcast, you are here for a reason. You are here on purpose. I'm going to tell you why. When a male ejaculates, there are 40 million to 1.2 billion sperm cells that has to race to that egg.
That one egg.
So out of 40 million to 102 billion, you were the one who got through.
Right. That one sperm that got through.
Out of 40 million is a lot.
Yeah, it is.
Out of 40 million, we're going to say, we're going small. Out of 40 million.
That's per nut, people. Per nut.
Yes. Out of 40 million per ejaculation.
You know how I like to say per nut, per bus.
Per bus. But that's one cell. That's one sperm that's made it. And that's you. So you can't tell me that God didn't have a plan for that life that you aborted.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want y'all to take that into consideration. Like, you know, I can't judge you because people make decisions to where they are, the information they have. So when we put information out here, we put it in your hands either way.
Right.
But you can't come to the table saying, like, it's an inconvenience. Like, if you live in your inconvenience, like, a lot of times, as a parent, kids are inconvenienced. They're worth the inconvenience, but a lot of times they're inconvenienced. That's they stand true. Between you and your dreams sometimes, you and your goals of having a good night's sleep sometimes. Right. But at the end of the day, they are a blessing. That's what the word says. They said the kids are a blessing.
Yes.
But it's like, I think when you're younger, you don't look at it that way. You look at it like, oh, my God, this is going to ruin my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like when people talk about, when they say, like, if we have a kid, you know, I'm too young to be a mother, so the kid's going to end up in foster care, so I'd rather kill it than put it in foster care. I hate that. I hate that mind of thinking. I hate the what-if thinking, period.
Right.
Because a lot of what-ifs don't come to play. You got to make a decision now based off of what if.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's
not what you're going to eat tomorrow. You're talking about a child. A human being. And you're talking about, well, I don't want to put them up for adoption. You know what they go through in adoption, but... That's assuming the whole system is flawed.
Yeah.
Yes, there are adoption, there are bad foster parents. Yes, there are bad foster homes. But a lot of people that come out of those places, they're great. At the end of the day, there's bad parents out there.
You know
what I'm saying?
Okay, because that's just where I was going. But I'm glad you tackled that before I said it. Right.
But at the end of the day, we don't create life.
Right.
So we don't have a right to take it, hands down. I don't care whose life it is.
Right.
We don't have a right at all.
Right. Right.
And so, but you cannot go in there knowing this and tell me you don't feel some kind of way to get an abortion if you go through with it.
Like now.
I can
understand, you know, your reasons. And trust me, people, I'm speaking from a place of a brother who has been a part of more than one abortion. It's still to this day. I will tell the truth. Still to this day, it still bothers me. The very first time, I was 19, and my boy's mother was 17. We had only been knowing each other 2-3 months. Mm-hmm. And she had literally got pregnant with twins. Now, I was ecstatic. 19 years old, instead of being scared, I was ecstatic. I was like one of the happiest kids on my block. And... she had just moved down here. She didn't know nothing about Georgia. And our parents found out. And she called me one day and was like, I'm at a clinic and I don't know where I'm at. She only been down here 2-3 months. So I'm at a clinic. I don't know where I'm at. My parents brought me here. But I know I'm at an abortion clinic. And she couldn't tell me where she was. So I was legit crushed. I was traumatized. All that because, you know... twins.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm
saying?
You excited.
I was stupid excited.
They just killed
excited.
Your baby.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only one, but two.
Two.
And it traumatized her for a very long time. You know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, we wasn't doing what we were supposed to be doing. You know what I'm saying? I didn't strap up and stuff like that. You know, However, it was what it was when I found out she was pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so funny because everybody's parents are different as well. Like, my parents did not want me to have those babies. But what my mother and father both told me was, there's no way in the world they could tell me to abort them kids.
Yeah.
There was just like, my father was like, there's too much life to give in our family to those kids for you not to have.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was like, even if you couldn't do everything you needed to do, you have enough siblings around you that can help bring and keep life into them children. But her parents were the opposite. And I'm not knocking her parents. Her parents were like, we moved down here from where we came from to get away from the life that you were living.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can have a better life.
Yeah.
We have plans for you to go to college and do this and do that. And not one, but two babies at 17, it kills all of that.
So
we're looking at it like, we're doing this for your benefit. So, you know, it's one of those things where even parents think differently in how things, and it's different. You know, my father told me straight up, I'm not paying a dime on them kids. I will love them all day long, but you put your wood in that child and you gonna raise them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I had to do nothing but respect them. I'm like, dag, that's how it's going. He was like, son, if you feel like you're responsible enough to go inside of a woman unprotected and have a child, then you better be responsible enough to take care of them.
That's what it boils down to.
Yeah, you know.
I mean,
that's real talk.
Real talk.
It's real parenthood talk. And, you know, I couldn't do nothing but respect my father even more after that and then receive it, you know. It's just that everybody's different, you know what I'm saying? It's one of them things where it crushed me, and I just and I didn't even know that that's what happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and I know for a fact that you know, my boy's mother, we wound up having two kids, you know, after that.
Yeah.
But I know she had no idea what was going on. Mm-hmm. She didn't know no procedures, and then she was young, so at that time they don't even explain to the child. Let's talk about that. When there is an underage person, the parent has to be there to authorize the abortion. Now you have to have a parent there. If you're 17 or younger, they won't abort. They won't abort nothing unless a parent is there.
Yeah.
Do they explain the procedure to the parent and the child, or just the parent?
I don't think they explain it
to either one.
I don't think they could. And walk at it and still get abortion. I don't think so.
Now, some parents
probably would.
Some parents definitely would because they're looking at the future of their child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and especially, let's just give an example. You know, your daughter that got pregnant by a straight serial killer or the main thug on the block that sells all the dope.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know he ain't no good, ain't gonna be no good for the child. So they don't care nothing about the procedure. It's just that they know who you pregnant
by.
Yeah,
I got you.
And it's like, we don't even care. You know, but I honestly do believe that they don't go into specific detail.
No, I don't think they could.
Not even to the parent.
I don't think so. I agree with you. I don't know. I've never been to a clinic. I haven't talked in depth to people who've gone and had abortions. Perhaps we should have had one of them on the show.
But most people, like I said, now I know some women that have had abortions, but majority of times they sleep.
Yes,
they're not even awake for the procedure.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, of course, if it's a surgery, you're typically not gonna be awake anyway. But I'm wondering, like you say, if prior to going in, so what are you gonna do? But do they care? Do they care to know? Probably not.
I think legally they have to state what they're doing, but they know they can use those big terms and doctor terms to where you don't understand what they're saying. And then honestly, you do have people where they just like, let's just get this over with.
Yeah,
like I just want this done. I think
that's the majority of it because some people I think just from the vibe I get from people who've done it, I think when they're going through, it's not a proud thing for them. It's like an emotional thing. They're just trying to get it over with as quick as possible.
Mm-hmm.
So they ain't trying to hear no procedure. They just want to get in and get out and get on with trying to heal emotionally.
Right, and what a lot of women should know, if you don't know, just how after you have a babe, after you deliver a child, that postpartum depression kicks in naturally after you deliver a child. That depression still kicks in when you get an abortion.
It's probably worse because the reason you don't have the child is because you agreed to an abortion.
Exactly. So I'm assuming that depression is far more severe than you having a child and then naturally the postpartum depression kicking in. So, you know, it's one of those, it's a catch 22, man, to the whole scenario, if you ask me.
I agree. Well, you know, the whole point of me talking or bringing this up, as far as abortion goes, I want to bring a a lot more understanding what's being presented. All you time you hear is people saying it's their rights and that kind of stuff. It wasn't to beat anybody up or make you feel any kind of way. Mm-hmm. I just really want people to understand the implications of abortion. And there's a lot of stuff to be considered. A lot of times, when I think when people look at it, all we're seeing a lot of times is just our own views or like our immediate situations. Right. A lot of times it's probably fear. Right. Oh my God, I'm too young to have a kid, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
You know, and I'm not talking from a standpoint of someone who hasn't been. I never committed an abortion, but we did have kids very young. My wife got pregnant she was 17. I was 18 when she got pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Or actually, she was 16 when she got pregnant. She didn't have a child until 17.
Okay.
So yeah, it was scary, but the abortion never crossed my mind, although people suggested it.
Mm-hmm.
But it never crossed her mind either. So, you know, we went on faith and just moved forward, you know, because I understood the whole concept of life.
Right.
Some people don't. Some people don't care, and that's on them.
Right.
But I want people to understand whether, you know, because a lot of times everybody's saying it's the women's right, women's body, and I strongly disagree with that.
Mm-hmm.
But I want anybody that's considering it, whether you're the woman in the situation, the man in the situation, I want you to consider every aspect of it. I want you to consider that when you abort a child, You're not gonna be done with it after that. Like it's like
it don't just go away just like that.
It affects you, and it affects more than just you. It affects first of all, it affects the father of the child if y'all together.
Right.
If you're not together, you know about it. It affects you. Mm-hmm. If you're the mother, it definitely affects you. And if your parents are the ones who took you there to get that abortion, it's gonna affect them later.
Mm-hmm.
So it affects more than just one person. It's not like you're just getting surgery. Where like you're actually removing a child in pieces from your fetus, a potential life. So I want you to understand, like, even after that's done, depression will come in, or a lot of times it comes in, the regret comes in, and there's nothing you can do about it. The remorse comes in. I've seen people go through, well, I can't say I've seen, but I assume that's what they're going through, but either way it goes, just knowing certain people, it is regret there.
Yeah.
And it affects the father. Like you said, it devastates, just traumatized. It's not a convenient thing to do. You know, there's embarrassment, there's remorse. I want y'all to consider each and every aspect of it. I don't think there's any really pros to having an abortion, personally.
True.
From the information I've gathered and seen, from my own eyes, from experience I've seen people go through around me.
Mm-hmm.
I want y'all to really consider that. Now, on a spiritual level, you know, if you have done an abortion and you are, you know, you've been saved after that or before, whatever, you have done an abortion, I still want you to understand that, you know, Christ sacrificing himself on the cross, his grace is still sufficient. You are still forgiven. You still can receive salvation. Don't let people tell you because of your past, because of what you did, that you're going straight to hell because of an abortion.
That's a straight lie, y'all.
That is a lie. That's probably how they feeling. They probably feeling you deserve
it. They feeling that way. They talking off of feelings and emotions.
Yeah, because honestly, you know, after hearing how it is done, I'm not too far from feeling that way myself. You know what I mean? But it's not up to me. And I wouldn't send anybody to hell anyway or nothing like that. But it's like, it's a very serious thing. It's an emotional conversation when you realize that's how it's actually done.
Right.
You know, we're not talking about the morning after. I'm talking about if you going in later on in your trimester or whatever. That's the type of abortion we're talking about. The morning after pill, I'm not sure if that even falls into abortion. You're looking at me like you don't know the
The morning after pill. Yeah. I've heard that before. No, correct me if I'm wrong. Now, is the morning after pill when you think you might be pregnant?
I believe so.
Like, because I'm about to tell another part of my truth. Oh, my gosh. So back in my college days, I went to go see a friend, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, way out in college somewhere.
Yeah.
We did our little thing, you know what I'm saying, and the condom slid off.
Okay.
In the process of.
Yeah, so you stopped immediately like everyone else would do, right?
No, I did.
Of course not. I'm messing with you.
You always got to get through that.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
And then you get me every time because I literally answer the question. You make me tell more of my business when I don't want to.
I'm sorry, man. Go ahead.
So bottom line is that's the first time I heard a morning after pill. Like she literally had one and took one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was to protect any kind of semen from swimming to get into that egg. So that's the first time I've heard. That's why I was like, I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, I believe that's the same pills. Like, if you have sex with somebody, you're supposed to take it the morning after to prevent.
Right.
You know, and I don't think that falls under the same kind of...
No, it's not. It's, to my knowledge, that pill is killing
the sperm before
it gets to the
egg. In my opinion, if that's correct, it's no different than having minoxidil 9 on the condom, the suburban side.
Exactly.
No difference.
Exactly.
So now I don't want to do this to you, Pudge, but I got to do this for the sake of the listeners out there. I know you've been through the abortion thing before. Can you just tell us, if you can, how it affected the female that was involved, like on an emotional level or
depression?
Depression. Did you see it happening?
Yeah,
like,
without a doubt. And when I say immediate depression, meaning coming out not knowing how, like they don't know how to feel. And I'll just be, again, people. My past is not a good one. It's been more than one. So it's been more than one woman. Let's just say I was a hoe back in the day. The two women that I'm talking about, I was there, I stayed with them, and I, you know, took them home, whatever. And the feeling that they had was they felt like, my boy's mother said, I can tell my child was snatched out of me. I feel empty.
Yeah.
There was something that was living in me that is no longer there, and I feel empty. Her depression came immediately.
Wow.
The other woman, her depression came 2 days later.
Mm-hmm.
And believe it or not, it does affect the man.
Yeah.
Me personally, I was highly affected, and I wasn't affected after. I was affected during.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe it's just me because I never wanted any of these abortions to happen.
Okay.
I was always for it. And the thing about I was somebody who was dumb back in the day, but I was never for aborting a child.
Yeah.
I'm like, if I slipped up and made that mistake, I want to raise that because I don't feel like it's a mistake. You know, now I didn't do what I was supposed to do to prevent it, but now that God's allowed you to be pregnant, I don't want to abort anything.
Yeah.
You know, however, I'm young and these folks got parents and their parents ain't trying to hear that. So that's why I spoke on the parent part because the two times, it was because their parents were not trying to hear them have kids at their age. You know what I'm saying? We all teenagers.
Of course.
So, yeah, the depression is mainly what I experienced from when I saw them go through it. And it eventually wound up hitting me because I started going into, how old would they have been at this time? What I would have been doing with them at this time? And although I was for having the child, it didn't stop the depression from still hitting me. It didn't having to still console the woman.
Yeah.
And now feeling like they made a mistake.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Because the second one, that's exactly what she felt like. And so much to the point where she went out, like me and her stopped dealing with each other. And a year later, she had a baby. But what she told me was she never got over the first abortion.
So to this day, she still deal with that?
Well, I don't know about, but back then, but the reason for her having a child was because makeup for aborting the one she had.
Wow.
So she could not get past the mental state of what I would have been doing 6 months with my baby. This, and that, and that. So much to the point where she began to start desiring a child. Now, mind you, this is a woman who was scared out of her drawers that she was pregnant, did not want to be pregnant, did not want to have a child. And that depression kicked in and reverted to now she's trying to have a child because of what she said. And all that's depression.
Yeah.
So, yeah, depression, man, to me, overall, that depression will hit you. And if you don't get control of it, you will spiral off into other things that you've never done before and stuff like that. Sure.
All right. So that's a lot, man. It sounds like just like, it doesn't go away. It haunts you. There's a lot of implications. So I want everybody that's out there who may be considering an abortion, know someone's considering an abortion, just to really think about it in the full
aspect
of it. Yeah. But now I want to talk to the single women out there who might be going through this alone, who's considering like they can't handle it on their own.
Yeah.
And that's a scary thing. I can't imagine how that feels. And I know women who consider abortions because of that.
Yeah.
But I will say, there is help out there. Mm-hmm. And we There are shelters, and I know people hear about shelter, like, oh my God, I want to go to a shelter. But there's shelters out there. There's people that can help you. There's a lot of resources that can help you that is probably not reaching a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you're anybody that fits those criteria, just hit us up at crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook. Hit me up on my inbox if you need that kind of resource, and or Big Pudge for that matter.
Yeah.
We'll be more than happy to pass along, because life is precious and it's a gift.
It is.
It's not a curse, despite, you know, what we may do with it or how it may begin. It's not a curse. It is a blessing.
Right.
And I just don't want anyone to abort a fetus and have to deal with all of the stuff that comes with it, the emotional, the trauma, all that stuff that comes with it. The guilt.
Now we'll say this. You do have some cold women out there who they bounce back like it wasn't nothing. They bounce back, they back in the club, they back doing this, they back doing that, and they don't feel nothing. And I legit know women like that too. So
that's fascinating.
So you do have but I will say that type of woman has no real aspiration and goals in life. Like, their only goal is to get money.
Yeah.
Pimp wig and pimp, hustle wig and hustle.
Wow,
you know,
I know people like that now that you mention it.
You know what I'm saying? So if you have that mindset where you don't care nothing about yourself, where your main goal is to get whatever you can get from everybody else, you don't really care that, you know, you happy that this child is aborted. You don't care how the procedure was done.
Yeah.
You just glad you ain't got no child in you no more, because you don't want no kids. You waiting for your stomach to get back flat so you go back to doing what you're doing.
Wow.
I actually have met women like that too. So even though I've experienced the depression part, let me not act like it ain't some cold-hearted women out here who don't care, who are just excited about abortions, and if any time they feel like they don't want to have one, they go around to the clinic and go ahead and get one and go back to their regular life.
Wow.
So it's sad all the way around, if you ask me. And I will say that I was never knowledgeable of the information that we've given out today.
Yeah. Praise God, we got the information. I hope it changes someone's heart or mindset to a point where they will be pro-life as opposed to pro-choice.
Right.
At the end of the day.
And they'd be so happy to be pro-life, because you just never know, man, what God has in store for that child.
Yeah, you never know. I know people who were about to be aborted, and the mom felt them kick while she's on the abortion table, and she got up. That's their testimony to this day.
Wow. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That is awesome.
Yeah. So you really never know. You never know.
Wow, man. That's a story that I would really like to hear myself.
I'll tell you about it, who it is after we get off
the air. Okay, wow.
And then there's also stories of people who didn't want kids, didn't think they'd be good parents, and they have kids, and the biggest blessing to their life.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the future grandparents who wanted an abortion love the grandchild so much after the child was born. Like, so you just never know. So just give life a chance. Your life was given a chance.
There you go. Give life a chance.
That's it, man.
That's the whole point. Give life a chance. Because, I mean, just think about it. Like you said earlier, you know, you talk about abortions, but yet you here.
Exactly.
So somebody did not abort you.
Somebody didn't give up on you.
Right. So why would you give? And it's funny, because I had a friend, you know, of a Caucasian descent, you know, and we had a conversation about you know, what's the child, what's the woman name who that's sad when you don't like your president so much you literally forgot his name. Trump. But who was he going up against? Bill's wife.
Hillary.
You know, Hillary is for abortions.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
So the debate that we had was, and it's sad because I don't feel bad at standing on my ground, because I still feel strongly. Now that I know this information, I feel like that is just as bad as racism.
Yeah.
Because, and I said that because her point was she's for abortions and this, this, that, and that, and that. So I voted for Trump because she's for abortions. So I was like, so you would rather have a racist white man who clearly lets the whole world know he don't like no race but his own race.
Yeah.
He wanted to build up a whole damn wall. So I started going in on his racism.
Yeah.
And I was like, so you'd rather that man be a president versus a woman who's with abortion. But now that I'm looking at it, I'm like, one is just as bad as the other. Like sin. Like, I know people will probably feel like, you know, I hear you about that, but that child ain't never lived. That child never went through nothing. That child going straight to heaven.
Yeah.
This and that and that versus Trump. Like, he's a, I can understand. I see the way in the difference on how people be like, he's still worse than that. Mm-hmm. However, I know what I felt reading how abortions are done.
Yeah.
And my question is, Hillary, did you know that that's what they do? You know what I'm saying? To actually say, I'm okay with you aborting kids.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like one of them things where it's a catch 22, but then again, this is the United States of America, and profit is the only thing that this government cares about. So my thing is, you have, at one point in time, it is my belief, the reason why AIDS was administered was because black folks were multiplying too much.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought crack was going to do it, but it didn't. So they had to administer something else to get us to die off. And instead of it just staying in the black community, it spread all over the world.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So my thing is, I've always felt like the government is always trying to generate something to kill off black people.
Yeah, there's
because
there's
we probably, multiply too much.
There's some truth in history about that would support that.
Okay.
But let's keep that for another show.
That's another show. That's another soapbox. I got you.
But anyways, I was actually getting ready to close out, but I do.
My bad. See, you let me talk at the last minute.
I know, man. I know. But with the racism versus the abortion, personally, you know, God sees all sin the same. I don't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think murdering children is way worse than being racist.
Gotcha.
Hands down. Mm-hmm. Racism is your opinion. You treat people based on what you think they should be treated as. Killing the baby that you haven't even met, I think that's a lot worse, especially having that information.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Thank y'all for tuning in to the Crosstalk Podcast. Yeah, that's a very passionate subject, man. We don't hold nothing in. We don't hide nothing from y'all. But I do want to say again, if y'all have anything you want to talk about, hit us up crosstalkpodcast@gmail.com. Hit us up on Facebook, Crosstalk, all Crosstalks with a K. Hit me up on Steph's with his Big Pudge.
It's Big Pudge, man. Y'all
hit
take
him up.
Care.
Talk to us, man. Just talk to us.
And as y'all can see, man, there's no subject that has a limitation or has barriers. I mean, we honestly want you guys to reach out to us to hear, to let us know what other elephants in the room that you notice the world doesn't talk about or doesn't want to talk about. Like, we would definitely offer that, you know, that whole podcast up.
And no, you know, just for the record, we do this for you.
Right.
Hands down.
Right.
God gave me this vision a while back to talk to Pudge about it. He got on board. It became our podcast, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do it for ourselves. We have conversations like this all the time before we press record.
Right.
So it's not like we just had to, like, hey, you know, we do this specifically to reach the people and to share what God's given us to talk about, however you want to put it. We're here for you. So if there's anything we're missing that you need us to talk about, do differently, you need prayer, do anything, we're here for you.
Yeah.
That's all I got to say. Let's get to do the shout-outs real quick, man. We need some heavy topic, man.
Well, you know, go ahead and give the shout-outs, then, man. You got to give the shout-outs.
I'm going to skip it, man, because I was like, we're going to do it. So anyway, shout-outs to Tokyo for being with us again.
Love you, Tokyo.
I still want to hear from you. We're still waiting to hear from you guys at Tokyo. Richmond, Virginia team tuned in last week.
All right.
Ron Rock, Texas. Man, I haven't heard of them before.
So
that's what reaching people, man.
Appreciate that, y'all.
Garden City, New York. Thank y'all for tuning in.
Yes.
Buffalo, upstate New York, done tuned in with us.
I think I might know who that is.
Well, thank you for tuning in. If you know who they are, appreciate
yes,
it for us, man.
Yes.
Germany tuned in. Germany, we love you guys. Kanye's is back on the map again.
Appreciate
welcome
you,
back.
Kanye's know who that is.
Welcome back, Kanye's. The city of Atlanta tuned in.
All right.
Ashburn, Virginia, done tuned in, man. Riverdale, Georgia, and Forest Park, Georgia. Shout outs to Clayton County holding us down once again. Shout outs to everybody holding us down. Thank you for all the prayers, all the encouragement. Everybody tuned in, everybody that shares, everybody that subscribed to us. Thank you so much for everything you do. I'm Steph Swig.
I'm Big Pun.
This is Crosstalk
Radio. Peace.